It's early the next morning. Bob and Betty stand motionless, gazing soberly at the desolate scene about them. Yeah, the fire's out, but the farm and forest is little more than a smoldering ruin.
Oh, not very pretty, is it? Well, anyway, it rained before the house burned, too.
Take a lot of building to get this place started again.
Yeah. New barns, new chicken houses, plant a new orchard. A lot of work for somebody.
Well, when do we begin?
We? Oh, no, Betty, I know when I'm licked.
Well, what's the matter with you? Oh, Bob, now look, they built up Chicago after the fire, didn't they? And San Francisco. Well, if they could rebuild a couple of cities, we ought to be able to build up a chicken farm.
Betty, you mean you want to? You really want to?
Yes, I really want to.
I don't want to quit, Betty. I was just thinking about you. Hey, there's a car coming.
Oh, if that's Harriet Putnam, all I can say is she picked the wrong day.
Hey, Betty, look. It's half the county. What are they all coming here for?
Well, Bob, Betty, I guess you're all wondering why we're all here. Hey, you took a bad beating here last night. Pretty much everything gone. Now, I don't want you to get the idea we come here with charity. It's nothing of the sort, but we'd like to help. So if you'll just sort of stand back, I'm going to call off all the names of these folks here and see just how we stand. Mr. and Mrs. Pettigrew?
We're given 2 young pigs and the corn to feed them.
Mr. Henty?
A 2-year contract for their entire output of eggs and a cash advance within reason, of course.
Bob.
I just don't know what to say.
Mrs. Putnam.
1 dozen speckled Sussex hens.
Pa Kittle.
6 tubifores, 2 pounds of nails, and a hammer and saw.
And a quart of green paint.
Joe Bernheimer and wife.
1 week's work of tractor.
Doc Wilson.
What are you thinking about, Betty?
I just can't get over it. Our neighbors, all they've done to help us get started again.
Yeah, me either. Well, I guess we'll be seeing most of them at the fair today. Hey, we're gonna be late if we don't hurry.
Oh, take it easy. The fairgrounds don't open till 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we want to get there before the crowd.
Bob, I've got a terrible confession to make. I've never been to a county fair before in all my life.
You haven't?
No.
Well, you haven't lived.
I'll never get a chance to if Ma Kettle finds out I've entered her quilt in the competition. Oh, Bob, she's got to win first prize. She's got to.
Who's judging the quilts?
It's that traveling salesman. You know, that impossible man, Billy Reed.
Yeah. When you're out of socks or cinnamon seed, just open the door to Billy Reed.
For 6 months, he's been driving me crazy.
You better be nice to him today, honey, if he's the judge.
Oh, don't worry. I intend to.
Morning, honey. Just saw your old man there looking at Miss Putnam's prize cows.
That's quite a family resemblance, don't you think?
Lander Goshen, I just gotta set for a minute.
Ma, hey Ma, can I have a nickel?
Oh, for goodness sakes, Ellie. I give you a nickel a little while ago.
But I'm not Ellie, Ma. I'm Henrietta. You give Ellie the nickel.
Oh, well, all right. Here's a nickel. Now you stretch it out for the rest of the day.
Thanks, Ma. Hey, Albert! Albert!
Ain't youngin's a nuisance, though. Just wait till you have yours.
Oh, well, it won't be for a while yet. It's not on our schedule.
Schedule? They have 'em by schedule these days?
Come along, Ma. Let's get over to the judging stand.
You ain't gone and entered something, have ya?
Me? Oh, no, I'm just interested.
And on the spot, in your hour of need, the housewife's friend called Billy Reed.
Oh, morning, Mr. Reed. Say, that's some badge you're wearing there.
Just vice president in charge of practically all the household judging.
You don't say.
Yes, ma'am. Got my own booth here, too. Need any bath salts, tea bags, sheep dip, curtain rods, weed killer? Got a fine line of eyeglasses, safety pins, carpet tacks, imported sardines.
Ma, I'll see you later.
You're gonna buy something, missus?
Well, I might at that, Mr. Reed, if you have time before you start judging.
Time? I've got all the time in the world. I've got alarm clocks, mantel clocks, kitchen clocks, grandfather clocks.
Four first prizes, Harriet. Well, you sure deserve them. You got a wonderful farm.
Oh, I used to think it would be so wonderful to hide away and be a lady farmer. But a prize Hereford is small solace on a cold winter evening.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard a remedy for you.
But all the best men are taken.
Well, why don't you sell the farm then?
You in the market for it?
Me? I'm afraid your place is way over my head.
Oh, don't be so sure.
How much would it take?
Make me an offer.
Well, I'd have to examine it first.
Naturally.
Well, I could come out tomorrow.
Why not now?
Now?
Well, why not?
Well, all right, I'll find Betty and tell her that...
Oh, don't be silly. We'll be back before we're even missed.
Well, I guess it shouldn't take long, should it?
Of course not, darling. Not long at all.
And now, folks, the $500 first prize award for patchwork quilting. After 6 years of top honors, Miss Bertie Hicks has got to take second place this year. First prize goes to Mrs. Ma Kettle.
Ma! Ma, you've won first prize!
Well, hack me down and chop me up for kindling.
Is this the dream step?
Well, Mrs.? I sure kept my part of the bargain.
Yes, you certainly did, Mr. Reed. Although any fool could tell that Ma's quilt deserved first prize.
A lot of folks named Hicks in this county, Mrs.
Well, you can send us that portable billiard table anytime you're ready.
And a set of encyclopedias, that's what you said before.
And a set of encyclopedias.
Thanks, Mrs. Ain't sold a set of them since 1936.
And Ma won that, Miss Betty? $500?
Yes. Don't you see, Tom? Now you can go to college. Isn't that... Oh.
Miss Betty, what's the matter?
Oh, I don't know. I feel that I... Woo.
Ma? Miss Betty, she's fainted.
Ma? Where are we?
First aid room, honey. Now you feeling better? I sent Tom to look for Bob.
Well, what happened to me? I've never fainted before in my life.
Honey, you better stop by Doc Wilson's.
Oh, nonsense. What for?
Honey, you sure you looked at that schedule lately?
What?
Just walked in. Do you mind?
No, of course not. I thought it was my husband. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you.
My husband hasn't come home yet from the fair, and I thought... You know, I don't seem to remember having met you before.
Well, we don't get around as much as we used to, do we, Edward?
I beg your pardon.
This is my husband. This is Edward.
Where... But there's no...
He's so retiring. Sometimes people just don't notice Edward at all.
Oh. Well, how do you do?
We used to have a chicken farm too, didn't we, Edward? Till Charlotte came.
Charlotte?
Yes, dear. Charlotte was just an ordinary little chicken when she was hatched. But as time went on, she got bigger and bigger and bigger until she was so high, higher even than a man.
It's all right, sport, I think.
And that's when I began to notice that Charlotte wasn't being friendly. She used to look at us as if she could just peck us to pieces, didn't she, Edward? And then one night, Edward and I, we heard a knock on the door, just like this.
Oh, Sheriff.
Well, here you are, Emily. I figured I'd find you here.
Oh, you...
You've been a bad girl, Emily.
Come along, Edward. He found us again.
Help her to the car, Joe. Poor soul. Hope she didn't disturb you too much.
Oh, no. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Emily's harmless enough, but she gets away once in a while. She always comes here, you know.
Here?
Oh, yeah. She and her husband used to own this place. And one day, Edward up and ran off with another gal. Ain't seen hide nor hair of him since. Drove Emily plumb loco.
You haven't seen any sign of Bob, have you, Sheriff?
No, ma'am, I haven't. Well, sleep tight.
Oh, 10 o'clock at night. He leaves me all alone with lunatics running all over the place, with husbands you can't see, and chickens bigger than a man. Oh, you can't do this to me, Bob. I won't put up with it. I just won't put up with it.
Bob? Bob? Bob, where? Oh.
Got a message for you, ma'am.
What is it?
Well, your husband says he's been delayed enough to wait up for him.
Thank you.
Any answer?
Wait a minute. Haven't I seen you at Miss Putnam's farm?
Well, that's right, ma'am. That's where I work.
Oh, you do you? Well, there is an answer. Just tell my husband I'm through.
Drink your coffee, Betty. Toast?
No, thank you, Mother.
Well, what's upsetting you now?
Upsetting me? Nothing.
Don't kid me. The mailman was here and no letter from Bob.
Oh, please, Mother.
For weeks, he sent you a letter every day. And for weeks, you sent them back unopened. No wonder he stopped writing.
Well, if he had any real interest in me, he'd have been here months ago.
In my opinion, both you and Bob are behaving very stupidly. Especially you, my darling. Not even letting him know he's about to become a father.
Mother, we've been over all this.
All right. A perfectly good marriage breaking up because of a lot of stubbornness.
It's not stubbornness. It's eggs and Harriet Putnam. I'll never go back to him. Do you hear? Never.
Grandchild or not, Betty, this is undoubtedly the most beautiful baby I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, Mother, isn't it funny how a little bit of nothing makes everything else so unimportant?
Like what, for instance?
Oh, like fights and jealousies and doing crazy things that really don't make any difference anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Did the tickets get here yet?
Tickets? What tickets?
Oh, didn't Emmy tell you? My train reservations.
To the mountains? To the chicken farm?
Well, of course. I'm going back to Bob, Mother, naturally.
Naturally. Well, thank heavens you changed your mind.
Say, I think it's about time I changed something else, too. Hold her a second, will you, darling?
Sure glad I happened to be at the railroad station, miss.
I'm certainly glad you started a taxi business, Joe. Oh, my, it's good to be back.
Say, didn't you even send your husband a telegram?
I thought it'd be so much better to surprise him. You see? The baby thinks so, too. Oh, darling, just wait till you see him. He's a pretty nice fella in many ways. Of course, he has some strange ideas about how to live, and well, he can be taken in by any designing female, but, oh, he's really swell, and he's awfully cute. You could do a lot worse than to grow up to be just like him. Couldn't she, Joe?
Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here we are.
Well, what are you stopping here for? This is the Putnam place. This is Bella Vista Farms.
Sure is, miss. That's where he lives now.
Oh, no.
Well, ain't you going in?
Go in? You turn right around and drive me back to that railroad station. Child, it's not your fault he's your father. Oh, don't you worry, darling. They say there's nothing to heredity. Oh, I only wish I had him here for 1 minute. Oh, I'd show him and that woman too. Joe, stop this taxi cab.
Huh?
Turn right around and take us right back to Bella Vista Farms.
I won't be long, Joe. Would you mind holding the baby for a minute?
Huh? Well, I ain't gonna get to see nothing.
No, but you're going to hear plenty. Sport! Don't you wag your tail at me, you traitor!
Betty!
Don't you Betty me, you Bluebeard! Oh, I suppose you could hardly wait till I got out of your way so you could move in here with that silly woman and her station wagon and her automatic milkers!
Now, Betty, just wait a minute.
Yeah, just wait till she finds out how you're more interested in her automatic milkers than you are in her, that's all.
Now, listen to me, Betty.
I gave you the best years of my life.
1 year.
Well, it seemed like 10. And for what? I'd like to know. Just so you could run off with the first idiot that made goo-goo eyes at you?
Are you through?
Yes, for the moment.
Well, then I'd like to say something. To begin with, I'm not sharing this farm with Harriet Putnam, as you seem to think. I'm living here by myself. And you know why? Do you want to know why? Because my wife walked out before I had a chance to tell her I'd bought this farm for her.
You what?
Yes, I bought it. I hawked everything I owned in the world, that we owned, to make this down payment. I wanted to surprise you with it because you were so wonderful and worked so hard, and don't think I didn't know it and appreciate it.
Bob!
And then what happens? The very night I close the deal and go home, what do I find? A big sign painted on the wall. I'm through. In green paint, just like that.
Oh, Bob, I didn't know.
If you had the decency to read my letters, you'd have known.
Oh, I'm so terribly sorry.
Well, after all, I... Oh. Gosh, Betty. Am I glad to see you. Now, don't cry, honey, please. Hey, you know what day this is? Happy anniversary.
Oh.
I mean, happy day after our anniversary.
Same to you, darling.
Hey, look. Here's our old calendar. You remember this?
What?
This date. May the 11th. Mother's Day.
Oh.
We're a little off schedule, aren't we? But, hey! Hey, where are you going?
Don't worry, darling. We'll make it. Thanks, Joe. I'll take her now. Well, right on schedule.
Huh?
Well, yeah.
Well, aren't you even going to hold him?
Sure, I'm going to hold him. What's his name?
Anne.
Oh, well, glad to know you, Anne.
Mr. Bob.
We're in here, Pa.
You better come right away. We got trouble in the chicken house.
Not those water pipes again.
You're busted wide open. Oh, howdy, missus.
Howdy.
Yeah, them hens is going crazy.
Let's get going.
Yeah.
Bob, must you take the baby with you?
Oh, here you are, honey. Be careful. Now don't go away, you two. I knew those doggone water pipes would break at a time like this.
Do you see what I mean, folks? I could write a book.
Featured in the cast were Claire Acott as Betty, Julian Munns as Bob, with Andrew Turnbull as Pa Kettle, Susan Turnbull as Harriet Putnam, Neil Headley as Tom Kettle and the Sheriff, Dadiana Headley as Henrietta and Albert Kettle, Helen Conway as Ma Kettle, Tony Jr. as Homer Henty and Joel, Jim Smagata as Mr. Pettigrew, Julian Munns as Billy Reed, Nancy Reed as Emily and Betty's mother, and I'm your narrator, Glenn Haskell. Directed and mixed by Jim Smagata. Recorded live at Arendelle Studio Theater, Mississauga, Ontario, August 2012. The Love Nest, performed by the fabulous Heftones and John Steele. Other music by Kevin MacLeod and Trevor Duncan. Captain John Tatterzak is the CEO of Misfits Audio. No copyright infringement intended. This was for enjoyment purposes and the preservation of old-time radio style entertainment only. Thanks for listening.